Stories Podcast.
Hi, everybody. This is Lawrence Simon with the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge. That's right. It's time once again for me to roll out the red carpet and then roll it back up again, because you people just come in through the back door every single week. And we post a topic to podcasting.isfullofcrap.com, then you get to write the stories. I collect them up and put them in a podcast not entirely dissimilar to this one. That's right. What's the topic for this week? Animal cruelty. Is somebody being cruel to an animal and wants to find their sick little expression of evilness upon little furry bunny creatures? Actually, that sounds kind of cool. I'm just going to get this intro part done and then go talk to Nardo for a bit. With a billow gaze. Before I do that, we need to find out who goes first, and that's determined by who won last week. And that's Sherry. Her first time here, a win. Isn't it amazing how that happens? Thank you, Sherry. Congratulations. And let's hear a little bit about your story this week.
Hello, folks. This is Sherry, and last week was so much fun that I'm back with another 100-word story. This one is for challenge number 146. The topic is animal cruelty, and the name of my story this week is Revenge. Someone warned them. By the time we arrived, the perpetrators had fled, leaving those poor creatures behind. You couldn't call them pets. Victims, maybe. Experiments. We opened the cages, coaxed the survivors out. They were cold, shivering. We wrapped them in blankets and led them to the waiting vans. A female watched me with eyes that were not quite ready to trust. "Will you catch them?" she whispered. I shrugged. "They're sly, if they don't want to be caught." She stared into the passing forest, wondering, perhaps, if her torturers watched from the shadows. I hate cats.
I'm just going to sample that last bit and then put it on an endless loop in Nardo's little snuggy sleeping blanket. As if he could be any more neurotic. He's sleeping on a new rug out there in the living room. Gina got this new rug, and every time there's new furniture, you know what a cat has to do. "Oh, this is mine." Thud. Snore. Thank you, Sherry. You can learn more about Sherry at the URL in the show notes next to the word Sherry. It conspicuously looks like a poll where you can choose your favorite stories from this week. Not your favorite stories from last week. It's too late! But you can still listen to all the old shows. They're all up there. It's a huge hard drive. It takes up, it's the size of a Buick. Anyway, enough shameless plugging. Thank you, Sherry, and congratulations, and looking forward to more from you. Speaking of more from people, there are folks that keep coming back for more of this abuse, most of which is Tom. Yes, Tom. In fact, I feel like singing a bit of a song in tribute to Tom. And it's Tom, Tom, Tom. You see? I took that Tom Waits time, time, time. I'm sure that someone could write a song about Tom using Tom Waits' time. I'm very sure. I'm looking at the lyrics here. "Well, the smart money's on Harlow." You see? Whoa. I got a new message in. Oh, well, I'm going to go read this email, and you guys can listen to Tom, okay?
Hello, night people. Tom here. Tonight's story is called D20s and Sixes. In 1979, I was going through a nasty divorce. Having a great deal of aggression and time on my hands, I started to hang out in a D&D pub next to the university. At the F. Banger Snatch Pub, they played a version of the game laid out by the members of the Society for Creative Anachronisms. Three nights a week, I'd hack and slash at assorted monsters into the wee hours of the night. The DM was rather fond of a hybrid beast called ducks. The story goes that they were either humans cursed with feathers or birds cursed with intelligence. Talk about animal cruelty.
Read the signs. They said, don't feed the ducks. But you ignored it. And what happened is all your fault. Oh, thank you, Tom. You can find out more about Tom in the link that has been put into the show notes. It may be something about little bitty midi tunes. Or have you stopped doing that one, and then in a year I'm going to say, and then that's Tom from MIDI. Oh, wait, no, he doesn't do that anymore. Like, he doesn't do Footnote anymore. Tom is well known for all the podcasts that he doesn't do anymore. That's what he does. He gets us hooked. He gets us addicted. But there's one podcast that he keeps doing, and that's this one. Here, he'll never leave us. Or, well, one day will some other podcaster go. And this is Tom, formerly of the 100 Word Stories. And I'll be on the street corner crying my eyes out. Don't do it to me, Tom. Just finish me off if you do. I don't want to suffer. Speaking of suffering, we have Guy David now. He does the music for the beginning, the ending, and this piece in the podcast, and he may be doing another, I don't know. Yeah, I don't listen to these before I do it. I do listen to them as I put this all together. So here's Guy David and his story.
Hi there, and welcome to Weekly Challenge number 146. I'm Blue Smoke Hextall from the Night Guy Blue Smoke videocast, where I take you on a journey through Second Life. Find me at nightguy.guydavid.com. And now, here is my story for this week's topic, which is animal cruelty. Enjoy! The forest whispered to Anna. She crawled deeper into the closet. The forest creatures were coming for her, and she knew they were going to skin her alive, then tear her apart limb by limb. She was terrified, but she was also prepared. She clutched the little device the strange men of the forest gave her and activated it. The closet started to spin around her, became a blur, then it disappeared altogether. She was no longer there. The forest creatures would have to feed on some other pool salt today. She thanked the spirit of human ingenuity for teleports.
What? Anna didn't get turned into a frog? No, no, come on. Come on, turn her into a frog. Turn her into a frog. Come on, someone has to be turned into a frog. Maybe next week I'll override the topic and say it's turned into a frog. Can you tell that I didn't take my medicine this morning? Actually, I did take my medicine. The problem is I'm colorblind, and all the pills look the same, and the doctor's supposed to give me shapes. You know, little Fred Flintstones and dinos and then little pebbles for the voices in my head. No, they were all round this time in the same shade of gray. I don't know why the trees are moving. You tell me. Tell me, Justin. Thank you, Guy, but I think Justin's gonna help me here. He's gonna lead me out of this pit of madness. Or maybe into another pit of madness, but one with better rent control.
Space turtle. So, a little tired. The last couple nights, Melody, our daughter, was not sleeping well. And we think we figured out why. Because today she had her first solid turd. And we thought maybe she didn't know what was going on, or maybe it wasn't coming out. Anyways, it's out now, and that's cool. And I thought you might want to know, because that's, like, really big news. Anyways, the topic is animal cruelty. And knowing this group of people, most of these stories are going to be about animals being cruel. Which is sort of what mine's about. It's called Honorless Animals. While filming the Brazilian drought, a wild dog attacked my wheelchair-bound brother. Before it ripped out his throat, I killed it with a shovel. A spying environmentalist became outraged. Security removed him. Later, he took a shot at me while I was birdwatching alone near the São Francisco River. While chasing me, he cut his leg. I saw them just under the surface of a shallow section of a creek. I climbed a tree and tossed my binoculars across the water. He waded in, thinking I'd crossed. The blood enticed the hungry piranhas, which took most of his leg. Nom.
Folks, I know you were just waiting all week to find out that Justin's kid took a solid dump. Congratulations! That's up there with, say, the first time the kid picks its nose, the first time the kid pulls the cat's tail. Sweet! Melody is gonna grow up with us here, and we're gonna chart this kid's progress through life. All in 100-word segments, and I'm looking forward to that. It's like I can live vicariously. Whatever vicarious means. Thank you, Justin. Next up is Jeffrey of Great Heights. I wonder what the prompt is this week. Hold on. Great Heights. I should probably look a lot sooner. Okay, here we go. Next week's prompt is, it is only Tuesday. Oh, dude, I can do something on that. I can do something on that. Come on. I can do something on that. All right. When I'm done with this, it is only Tuesday. Oh, I got an idea for that. Okay, while I'm working on that, you guys listen to Jeffrey Height.
Hello, this is Jeffrey Height with another 100-word story entry. This is week 146 with the subject of animal cruelty. And before I begin, just a quick note. This is for you, Tom. I have imaginary friends. That's so awesome. That's better than no friends. So, I'll take it. This week my story is called Wrath.
Mad scientists get a bad rap for many things. Bringing down bridges, thwarting the hopes of some goody-two-shoes wannabe hero. But mostly we get blamed when anything goes wrong. Well, I, for one, am not getting blamed this time. I'm not going down for this one. Some fool over the palace decided it would be a good idea not to let any of the slaves go. And now, there are frogs and gnats and locusts everywhere. Talk about cruelty to animals. What are those things supposed to eat? I tell you, it's like someone brought down the wrath of God.
This has been Wrath by Jeffrey Height. If you enjoyed this story, and I hope you did, then please take the time to go over to greatheights.blogspot.com and hear other stories like it, even by some authors that you might know. And if you feel so inclined, please feel free to join in the challenge. That's Great Heights. where 100 words is only the beginning.
You know, my degree is in mad science. I failed ethics. My lab partner, they never found all the pieces. And I just kept wanting to put lightning rods on everything. Hey, would you like some cheesecake? Put a lightning rod on it. Oh, that's wonderful. Hey, man, I got this new album. Put a lightning rod on it. Mad scientists are always putting lightning rods on things, you know. Thank you, Jeffrey. And now I've got the idea for the story. It is only Tuesday. Oh, this one's going to be good. Speaking of good, we have a story by Hedgie this week. Yes, Hedgie is back. And she recorded a story, and it was like, you know, 500 words. And it's like, oh, which words do I keep? And I'm like, every fifth one. So let's see what's left. Here's Hedgie.
Hi, this is Hedgie Till. I'm back with another weekly challenge, this one number 146, entitled Animal Cruelty. Andy awoke hungover and walked toward the kitchen. The coffee can was empty. He dressed, deciding on a Starbucks run, went to the front door and turned the knob. It wouldn't open. A noise was outside. Voices without words. The windows were covered with wood. What the hell was going on here? Andy looked up in a panic. Metal bars replaced his roof. The clouds were dark, promising rain. He also noticed something else. Hundreds of eyes peering down on him. Bodies and faces covered with fur, feathers, and scales stared and pointed at the human in his natural habitat.
People in the zoo. I know I wouldn't pay for it. I mean, I know that zoos are running out of money and people are like, let's see, are we going to pay for people in nursing homes or give illegal aliens free health care? Or maybe all of these species that we've supplanted will just let them die off. You know, when I have my choice, I think that we should have zoo animals placed in houses that are built in the habitats that, you know, we've developed and put all sorts of mansions in. And it's, if you're going to take somebody's refuge, if you're going to take somebody's habitat and make your mini mansion, your McMansion there, you know what? You've got to find space for the warthogs, for the pumas, for the snakes, for the Ebola viruses. You've got to make some room. You got to set a place at the table for them, all right? And if your kids, you know, don't exactly play with these animals as, you know, become prey, that's your problem, okay? So you don't want to deal with it? Fine. Don't move there. Thank you, Hedgie. And, you know, bye. I just can't stop laughing. Oh, I know what I'll do. I know what I'll do. Serge is back, or Sergey, or Serge, and he didn't record. He's suffering from a really bad flu this week, so get well, Serge, and this is the damage that I'm doing to your story.
The eyes, unblinking and unfocused, stared at him from beneath the transparent crust. Its last flight had been cut abruptly short by a simple, lifeless stone. The boy did not find the bird until next morning. It had fallen into the pond just a meter away from the shore. Curious, he touched the frozen wing sticking out from underneath the ice. A strange and unfamiliar feeling grew inside him. At home, he smashed the sling into the wall in silent anger and cried. He would go back many times until the spring thaw, when the bird was no longer there.
Okay, was that creepy enough? Maybe I can make it creepier. Thank you, Serge. And get well. I mean, we don't want anybody dying on us here. Especially the flu, which really should not... Well, okay, maybe if it's like a flu with a baseball bat. Next up is Ashley. Now, I want to apologize to Ashley for, say, putting in the whole message from last week. But he did have a picture of the cat. And, cats. Giant cats. Here, I'm going to open it up right now. Oh my god, they're gigantic cats. Should I post them up on Flickr and then say, these are cats. They own the bed. Some people don't like their beds being shown because it's like, oh, this is the bed I sleep in. As opposed to the what? The bed that, you know, you do yoga in? Anyway, here's Ashley in his story.
Hi, everybody. This is Ashley, and this is number 146, Animal Cruelty. And my 100-word essay this week is called Why I No Longer Trap. Yeah. I know what you're saying. The site says 100-word stories, but I wrote an essay. And if you don't like it, feel free to cry me a river. Back when I was in high school, I used to trap. Yes, we're talking double spring steel traps for small fur-bearing animals. Raccoons and Neutra mostly. When I left for Army basic training, I stopped trapping. When I returned and entered college, I found that I no longer had the urge to run a trap line. Nothing against trappers, but I remember just too many toes left in sprung traps. There is no doubt that animals suffer when caught in a leg trap. Though I still enjoy looking at tracks on the creek, trapping no longer holds any appeal for me.
They say that confession is good for the soul, and thank you, Ashley, for sharing. I used to trap Frisky underneath laundry baskets, and then I'd say, I've trapped a fluffy kitty, and he'd go like, look around, how do I get out from under this? You know, like cats think, oh, I can get out from under, no, wait, I can't. No, I can't, meow, meow, and meow, and he's like, let me out of kitty jail, let me out of kitty gitmo, and Narda would come up and sniff, and Frisky would go to the opposite end of the laundry basket, which he wasn't so, he was, you know, he wasn't huge, he was very fluffy, but, you know, he could curl into a tiny bone, like, no, Nardo is trying to get to me, and he didn't realize that Nardo couldn't get to him because he was trapped inside the laundry basket. Cats are dumb. Well, thank you, Ashley. And next up is Anima Zabaleta, and the topic of her story is actually one of my favorite artists. And I don't want to say more, just here's Anima.
Hello, Anima here, and yet another 100-word story. This one is for 146, Animal Cruelty. Enjoy. Canines and felines of the jury, ignore your emotions. Only weigh the evidence when deciding about William Vegman. Consider how he tortured Man and Fay Wray for years, isolating them from their pack, anthropomorphizing them, robbing them of their canine dignity. Vegman exploited the Wrays from early puppyhood to their last days, demanding obedience. He dressed them for his perverted pleasures and profited from his dogsploitation. You've seen the photos, hundreds of them. Recall the haunted looks, the humiliating postures, the demoralization of these once proud dogs. Let justice be served. Find Vegman guilty of gross animal cruelty.
William Vegman is the awesome. Man, hold on. Here we go. Vegman. Well, here we go. Stomach song. Clip from... Oh, yeah. There are a bunch. Of videos about Wegman's dogs on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and look up Wegman, and you're going to see just all sorts of fun. Here's a guy with My Cat Wegman Sleeping. Now, that's a funny name for a cat. That, you see, irony. Pet lovers love to use... Never mind. Thank you, Anima. And let's hope that, you know, justice prevails. Next up is Michael S. Not Michael P. Don't get the two confused. I know I do all the time, and, well, I live to regret it. This is Michael S., and I'm going to include his story right now, and you're going to love it. And then when Michael P. comes around, you're going to have to wait a while for that. I'm going to have to read that story. You see? Not all Michaels are alike.
Hello, this is Michael. Weekly challenge number 146. I call this one My Human. I drag my human along when we go for a walk. I bark at the empty closet. My human gets scared and jumps up to investigate. I lift my leg and mark my territory when my human visits a friend. I chase the garbage truck and the mailman with total disregard for my human, begging me to stop. Sure, it's a bit mean, maybe even spiteful, but I don't think we should call it animal cruelty. That's a bit too strong, if you ask me.
I remember the last time that I took Frisky Dog for a walk. It was a sad time. But she spent her last few months allowed to crap on our lawn, as opposed to have to go all the way to the empty lot, because she didn't have the energy to go to the empty lot anymore, so she got to go crap on our lawn. But that didn't last long. Thank you, Michael. Next up is Michael. Oh, my God. Which one is which? I can't tell. Is it this one or that? Oh, wait. It's Mike P. Okay. Well, oh, man. I was worried there. I was seeing things. And speaking of seeing things, I need to look at this. Wait, hold on. Where's the... Okay, there's the document, so I get to read this one. Here we go. Janine the Badger stepped to the edge of the platform.
Residents of the forest, witness what we do today. The kingfisher beyond the river has sentenced Ryan the Squirrel to be beheaded for the following crimes. Theft. Kidnapping. Impersonating a representative of the crown.
Brian smirked. His favorites were coming up.
We are for disobedience of gravity and selling fruits and nuts without a license.
Janine nodded at the hooded executioner. The cobra attempted to lift the axe, but was unable to actually grasp it. He looked helplessly at Janine. She growled. Animal cruelty is often prevented by the lack of opposable thumbs. Thank you, Michael. And thank you, Janine the Badger. I think Janine the Badger needs to be involved somehow in our government, with the bailout package being, oh, I don't know, $17 trillion by now. We need some badger-like wisdom. And speaking of badger-like wisdom, welcome back to Caleb, who has been, well, he hasn't been absent. He's just been adding more time into each episode with Black Tie Martini Club. That way, when we listen to it, it's not just funny, but super funny. And that's S-U-P-A-H. Get it right. It's not super funny. It's super funny. Here's Caleb and his story.
Friends, I want you to go over right now. Stop what you're doing. Go to the computer machine. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Revolution Will Be Streamed. That's right, The Revolution Will Be Streamed. That is a CD compilation featuring one song by yours truly, Caleb Bullen. And all the proceeds for this song and all of the stuff on the album there goes to Netroots Nation and Second Life. So if you're into lefty type politics, or if you're into Second Life, or if you're just into good goddamn music and don't care about politics one way or t'other, go to Amazon.com and pick up your copy of The Revolution Will Be Streamed. And now, here is a 100-word little song about animal cruelty. Thank you very much. If you go out in the woods today, you're in for a big surprise. If you go out in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For
every bear there ever was will gather for certain because today's the day the teddy bears go ethnic cleansing. Battle time for teddy bears. Those horrid teddy bears are having a bloody time today. Killing, feeding, unawares. See them murdering each other for holiday. See them ripping eyeballs out. They love to scream and shout and eat the other bears. Then there's no more teddy bears, because they all are dead.
Should I add that album to the Tunes and SL project? You know, that project at riaa.isfullofcrap.com that collects up all the albums that Second Life performers have said, "Hey, can you add it to the list?" that are for sale out there in the real world. Not the imaginary world with little duckies and bunnies jumping around, making brims and penis storms and all those disgusting things. No, no, this is real music. This is the music that's out there for sale in the market, in the wild, that you can buy and hold on to and then illegally copy and give all your friends so that you can go to jail. That's right. Then you can trade all sorts of other things in jail, like posters. Yeah, trade posters. That's what they do, trade posters, right? They trade drugs and cell phones? Oh, man. I've been smuggling the wrong things into prison all this time. God, I'm such an idiot. Thank you, Caleb. And be sure to check out blacktiemartiniclub.com, the only other URL that I'll mention right now, because you should really be going to the show notes and clicking on the links there. All right, who's next? Oh, Norval Joe! Yay! I was hoping that Norval Joe would come back. I love to hear his voice, but I like to smell his hair. Okay, that's disturbing. Let's just play Norval Joe's story and get on with it.
Hi, this is Norval Joe, and this is my entry for weekly challenge number 146, Animal Cruelty. There was tension in the break room. Finally, Tom spoke. I realize there is public concern about animal cruelty, but I have a job to do. It's Disney's fault. He animated animals and gave them human emotion. Now everyone expects dogs and mice to think and feel like people. First, we can't have alcohol on the job. Then, they take away tobacco and ethnic stereotypes. Well, let the script writers figure out how to eliminate violence and still have a show. Tom stood. Jerry and Spike just rolled their eyes as they followed him back to the soundstage. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Next week? What do we do till then? What will we do till then? Put it in the comments of the show notes and let me know what you're doing until then. And be really, really, really graphic. So if you're cooking like Kung Pao Chicken, I want to know how you're stabbing the fork into the chicken and rubbing those chili peppers across your tongue going, "Oh, I like the pain." Or maybe not. I need a break. How many weeks off do you think I could take before people would start to think I've given up like Tom has? I don't know, 5, 12, 367? Oh, we'll see. Next up is Terrence of Never Was. Terrence is not only back, but he's going to be consistent. He's going to be doing this every single week. Isn't that right, Terrence? Isn't that right? You're not going to leave me again? You're not going to leave me in the cold with these crazy people? Please, don't leave me in the dark with these people. They are evil. And we like them for that. Here's Terrence.
Hello, this is Terrence McLean from the Never Was podcast. And this is my entry into the 146th 100-word challenge, Animal Cruelty. One would think that having read the good book, you would know what was going to happen. But Raoul knew better. After all, he had been written out. However, not even Raoul had expected the end to come in the form of a pink monkey.
You came.
Death turned his horse towards Raoul. I'm still one of the five horsemen. There were only four of them on horseback, though. What happened to your horse?
They took him away. They did not understand that I'm famine. People have a certain expectation of my horse. They, however, said it was animal cruelty.
Do you know what's even more cruel than a thin horse? And that's a fat horse. A gigantic fat horse, like you're riding a hippopotamus. Like you're riding two Clydesdales glued together. That's cruel. Horses who are too fat to stand up. And they sit down and they watch TV all day. And then you force them to watch Mr. Ed, because, you know, that's got a horse in it. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. They like watching educational stuff on the Discovery Channel and Science Channel and the History Channel and occasionally some hardcore porn. But still, you've got to be balanced when it comes to treating your horse right. Thank you, Terrence. You can find out more about Terrence in the link in the show notes that says Terrence from, and then the link. I'm not telling you what it is. You got to go there. Finally, we have Planet Z. I know you've been waiting all show for this. Unless you skipped ahead to the end, then you're one really sick fuck. Here is Planet Z.
Octopuses are intelligent creatures. They are also quite delicious. Some people don't like it when intelligent creatures are used for food, so that's why I developed I Can't Believe It's Not Octopus. It has all the flavor and texture of octopus without the guilt of eating an intelligent creature. Instead, we use a blend of puppies, kittens, and other natural ingredients to achieve a consistent and realistic octopus experience. To get the puppies and kittens in the right texture, we have to mash them alive with concrete blocks. They're cute, sure, but not intelligent. Kind of dumb, really. And quite delicious.
Well, that's it for weekly challenge number 146, animal cruelty. No animals were harmed while producing this podcast. I'm going to wait until I'm done and it's uploaded before I stick Nardo in a pillowcase and take him for a walk around the block.
Come on, kitty, you want to walk around? Oh, you can't see anything, can you? What is you meow meowing and struggling? We'll be back home soon. Ooh, I'm going to stop for ice cream. That kind of thing. If you want to learn more about the people who have submitted stories this week, please go to the show notes at podcasting.itsfullofcrap.com, where you'll find the text of the stories, and you'll find the links for the authors, and you're also going to find a poll where you can choose your favorite stories this week. Oh, man, 15 stories, that's a lot. Are we ever going to get 75 stories in? Are we ever going to have a 7-week-long podcast? Maybe next week. Because I'm declaring next week to be prize round. That's right. Amazon or iTunes gift certificates. If you didn't hear the end of this podcast, then you won't know that it's a prize round. Gotcha. So that's it for this week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for submitting your stories. Thank you for just being you, even if you are a sick, crazy person. And most importantly, keep it brief.
Closing.